a longtime friend of the UUA.
Well, it's good to be back with you this morning. Welcome to the protest songs and the freedom marches and all the stuff that we are needing today for our energy and to have some sense of freedom and some way to respond to what is happening in our country and in our world. I've had a journey with this topic because I was born in 1960 and I grew up singing some of the civil rights songs without understanding what all that was. So if I had a hammer, that was just something my 8-year-old friends and I were sitting around singing, thinking that, oh, that's a cool song. And because these choruses are catchy. Peace like a river, that's been kind of, and if I had a hammer, it's all been kind of circling around in my psyche. And so when issues emerge, so do these songs, and they go back down into my little child self. So I feel like with all the stuff that I have put into my psyche from the Baptist upbringing till now, there's also this music that's sitting beside all that, and it gives me choice, and it gives me some freedom, because when there's choice, there's freedom, and we can make choices today. So that's kind of the journey. And then I started thinking, because I majored in music, I played French horn, and there are some pieces of music that I cannot play because I get so emotional. Is anybody like this that, there's just, sometimes music's hard to get through and it just stirs up emotions. So I saw a couple people. Yeah, there's some people that get stirred up, and it's all different emotions. Sometimes it's just the beauty of the music. Sometimes it taps into anger. Sometimes it gratitude that we can all be here together. So music itself is designed to create and stir up our emotions. I mean, we know that that's what music does. But I found a Harvard Medical School article, a lecture in pediatrics. He's a physician at Mass General and teaches about music and the mind. His name is Patrick Whalen, and he talks about and teaches about when you walk into a church and you see the pipes of the organ and the cavernous, I mean, I can imagine when this organ was up and going, it probably filled this room with really, does anybody remember that time? Yeah. It still plays. Okay, awesome. We just need the player. Gotcha. Yeah, so even the memory of it, I see you smiling. When you go into the church, this is what he writes, the music takes over mental faculties of all the people who are attending. It puts everyone in the same emotional space. So when we were singing, If I Had a Hammer, can you drop down into your body and get in touch with an emotion? Did it stir up an emotion? Can you drop down in there and catch the emotion? The first thing it stirred up in me is a memory of singing this song with my 8-year-old friends. And the joy of singing together. And then as I go up in age, the anger of the injustice. And that we even need a hammer. That we even need this song. And then the joy of singing it with you today. So it's just such a mixture of emotion. We don't all feel the same emotions, but we're in this emotional space. And there's this little half smile on the faces of people singing these songs together. We're in the same emotional space. So music does that. Music also encourages us to breathe together. So when we take a deep breath to start that song, and we sing the song, and we take the breath at the pause, that also unites us. In fact, there's been some research with MRIs that when people are performing or let's say singing a song, parts of the brain light up that not just the pleasure center, but the emotional center, the analytical center, because we start to think about what the song means. And it's some of the same areas of the brain in people light up. I thought that was fascinating. So it really does connect people, but also it connects the brain in different ways. So the person singing, those synapses that are firing, they are strengthened. Those communication pathways are strengthened by singing or the music. So they're firing and strengthening. So when a musician practices, this strengthens the bonds into circuitry that forms an efficient network for performing the music. So anybody who's played something, have you ever heard the phrase, you have to get the notes under your fingers? Yes, so if you've had a piano lesson, you have to get the notes under your fingers. Or if you're singing, you have to get the mechanics of it correctly. And once you get the notes or the mechanics, then you can let go of that part of your brain, the analytical part, and tap into the emotions of the music. So you don't have to think about the mechanics of it at that point. You're now expressing the emotion. And musicians who study try to express the intended emotion of the composer. So this is an art, it's a science, and so we have used science so we can know scientifically, we measured it, that music brings people together. It also unites the person into one singular communication. And so instead of, I don't know what cause to support, when we're singing, that falls away, and we're singing for the emotions and the connections. And then we can know what we know without having to think too much about it. We get it under our fingers. We get it in our brains. Our brains connect. So we know that music brings us together, and it strengthens the bond of communication within the person performing the music. So what? I mean, all that's interesting, right? So every good cause deserves a song, I believe. Or two, to bring people together around this common interest. And I started thinking about some of those songs. So do you remember We Are the World, We Are the Children? I was teaching Head Start at that time, and our kids performed this song. So that meant for 60 days, every day, I sang, We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones. I mean, I just thought it would never end. Never end. And it would just go and go and go. And the kids were so darn cute singing it. This was USA for Africa. And they raised $60 million and global awareness for those who were suffering the two-year famine in Ethiopia and other countries. And so, and it inspired other music-driven charities. I started wondering, did it change anything? I mean, look at Gaza. In Gaza, those borders are sealed, and there is famine that's just about to take over Gaza and just kill the people. And I don't know about you, but I was trying to listen to some of what's happening there, and it's very hard to stay with it because it's so egregious, so painful, so horrible. And no Michael Jackson and friends stepping into, we are the world, we are the children, look at what's happening in Gaza. But when we have a song, We Are the World, We Are the Children, I was able to look at what was happening in Ethiopia and those other countries. Somehow, I was emotionally supported enough to look at it, to see it, to keep it in front of me. Gaza needs a song. Gaza needs a song. I was listening to Robert Arnold in his podcast. He was talking about how the world tends to stand by, and this is the progressive parts of the world. We tend to stand by, observe, debate the issues while stuff happens in the world. What is it that would motivate us to step in, to stand up, to say something, to do something? I think if we don't have a song, we're sitting back, observing and saying, oh my God, this is so overwhelming, I just can't. Where is the song? We need the song. The song is the spirituality of hope. The song is the spirituality of community, of connectedness. And I'm using that word broadly. It sparks some sort of spirit within us. So what if we don't have to look overseas to see poverty, starvation, detentions, punishments for being inconvenient, casualties of some war for dominance? There's a war going on right here. We are a country divided. It's happening right here in the United States. I heard rumors of it happening in Avon, right here in Hendricks County, all around us. Maybe in our own lives we've been affected by it. Maybe if not now, it may be later, eventually. If we don't get up, stand up, as the song says, then we know the phrase from the Holocaust, they will come for you, and then they'll come for me, and there'll be nobody to get up, stand up. So what can we do? And that is always the question I have. If I'm sitting in the comfort of my own home and feeling overwhelmed by the issues, by Gaza, by Ukraine, by what's happening down the street from me, then I feel even more immobilized. When we are gathered together, like today, when we sing the songs, we tap into another part of our brains that lights up. There's energy there. There's something that we can do, which is to do this. All of us here chose to do this today. If you're not an extrovert, if you're not going out there and arranging the town hall, if you're not knocking on doors saying, "Are you aware of what's happening? We need to get the next right candidate in there." If you're not able to get in the face of a political leader and challenge them to go to the rallies, the protests, the town halls, run for office, that's not me. And what can you do if you are not that person? So Heather Cox Richardson, I always go to her because she gives me hope just by creating and her podcast and drawing on parallels and simply recording history. She says, if you are not the person with gifts to go out there and do all those things, to give money, to be overtly political, do your skill. Do your thing. Do what you love. Because when you express yourself like that, you are exercising your freedom. Bake. Read to children. That's happening right now, I'm sure. Paint. Create art. All of these things contribute to making our society free, better. It's creating community, creating the kind of world we want to see. Be who you are, she says. Celebrate what you contribute to the world you want to see. That is enough. You are enough. When we gather here and share our passions, our gifts, our art, when we sing together, breathe together, we are protesting the forces that would shut us down, keep us at home, keep us quiet, keep us isolated and alone, keep us from inspiring each other, keep us from expressing ourselves. This ability to gather and express ourselves is a basic freedom, and it's a right that is built into our country. When we do this, we're not alone. We are not alone with our own beliefs, our thoughts, our visions. When we are together in mind, body, and spirit, we are powerful. One voice is important, but when we express ourselves in one voice, that's overwhelmingly powerful. It's beautiful. It's eloquent. It stirs us. It gives us energy. When we put our voices together, we are a powerful movement right here, right now. Rather than singing a solo, which was beautiful, we're a choir. And when we're a choir, that there's this hush that comes over the audience, the congregation, the crowd. After that music stops, are you aware of that moment? The music, it's been beautiful, and we stop singing. And then there's this pause. Are you familiar? You know about it. What's happening in that pause? To me, that's worship. It's letting the awe of that experience ring in my body. Feel it in my body. That is spirituality. It's a spiritual experience, and we need it. Amen.
We do have time for some discussion. Does anyone have any questions or thoughts that you'd like to share?
I spent parts of 14 summers at 7 different summer camps run by 3 different organizations. They were all exclusively girls' camps. and singing was a very big part of the process. Mm-hmm. And when I go to reunions, singing is still a very big part of the community that we had. And I can remember all the words to all the campfire songs ever written.
Yes. So formative. You know, you grew up knowing you have a community. You have people. That's beautiful.
Well, when we think about it, it was the songs that the slaves sang in the fields.
Yes.
That kept them going.
Yeah. That's right. And also, they communicated that way.
That's right.
You know, Peace Like a River, if they sang that one, might mean tonight at the river.
I stumbled across and watched a symphony performance probably 3-4 weeks ago. And it was filmed so, they had planned it very, very carefully about filming it. Because every time, the piece had several soloists. And every time a soloist played, they came in on a close-up on the soloist. And not only did you get the beauty of the music, but you saw the focus and care and love of the person playing the music. It just was so much more moving than anything other than maybe a personal visit to the symphony.
Yes.
That I've experienced in music.
I don't know if anybody in here has gone to winter solstice.
Yes, I have.
At UUI every year, December 20th, whatever it is, right? And that is so emotional and so powerful. You know, we're all sitting in a circle and it's dark and we're holding our candles, and one. You know, the leaders are so great, so inspirational, and so, you know, just give it all they have. And they have part of the group sing the lyrics, and then in the middle of that, they have the second group come in. And so eventually, the whole circle is singing at different times. It's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And just, excuse me? Thank you. Singing in the Round is what it's called. I'm not a really musician person, so. But I hope you can go to it. You have to get there early because it gets very crowded. But I will never forget it, and I want to go back so bad.
The symbolism of the whole service is so rich. But then just adding the music really brings it all together. And it's such a service of hope for the light that is to come, and a celebration of that light, that we would have a harvest in the fall. I keep remembering this because, you know, we've had the summer solstice, which now we're like in the heat of it, and it's, oh, but surely this is helping our crops grow, and I'm hoping. Yeah, but I heard about corn sweat, so that's interesting.
Anybody else?
Well, I wanted to share just a little personal experience with you that's not part of the sermon so much, but when I was about 8, I learned this song from my friend's older sister. Didn't know what it meant. And it was, I love you, you love me, homosexuality. People think that we're just friends, but we're really lesbians. I had no idea what any of those words meant. But somehow my friend and I, we just held hands and we went to sing this song for my mother. I thought it was just going to be so impressive. And her jaw dropped. You could see the fear of the ages fall upon her heart. Like, oh my God. And so she said, don't ever sing that song again. You don't want to be associated with that song. And so as I grew and grew to know myself, I found a group of friends that were all like-minded. Many of them were Quaker. We went hiking and spent lots of time kind of reparenting ourselves, and all different ages too. And so I taught them this song. So every time we gathered and before we left, we would sing a group of songs. And we always incorporated that song into it. It was so healing for me that I could bless who I am and even celebrate it. So I know there's songs like that for everybody. You don't have to be in the LGBTQIA+ group to have that sort of thing, but tap into it. I mean, it's just healing. And to have a group that you can share that with, amazing.
Anybody else? A thought? A question?
A song?
A song. And now it's time for joy.